got a huge guest, military expert, defense contractor, you name it, really smart guy. Stephen Kuhn joining us coming up the next hour to cover all the new developments and big breaking news that just happened with Trump and Iran. But Dr. Kirk Elliott is an amazing economist, also a theologian, been on the board of the Focus on the Family, you name it, one of the most important Christian organizations in America, promoting American values, Christianity. But just in closing, Kirk's marketing strategy has never been to bash the competition. And I've known about Kirk for 20 years, and we were having dinner like 3 years ago, and he was coming on as a sponsor. I said, I think now it's time to get the market. He said, no, you're right. He said, I really don't want to attack the other companies, but I feel so bad. I want to warn people that people call us up getting ripped off, and I want to name names and stuff. And I said, well, whenever you're ready, we'll do it. But, I mean, it's basically everybody. And it makes gold and silver look bad because these people are out there doing that because the public doesn't understand it. It's so easy, folks. Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is. Type in what's wholesale gold and silver, platinum, anything. You know. And then you get it from them with a little processing fee, and then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. My problem is because whenever I have a sponsor, even though I trusted them, I call up and talk to people and do it because I had a few gold sponsors come on promising they'd do what Kirk did and then not doing it. So I just said, I'm done with gold for like 14 years because the other company that was moral couldn't make money at the low cost. So they shut down. So I couldn't find a moral company. I said, it was time to just get out of it. And I'm like, the problem we get with Elliott's people is they're too low pressure. I mean, we're talking like no blood pressure here. Okay. They're like, oh, you sure? Well, what about your but that's because they're the real deal, folks. You want to get in there. You want to get a consultation, financial information, you want to roll over. But just 2 minutes on what to look out for. Basically, it's real simple. Anybody not selling a wholesale, right?
Yeah. So I'll give just a brief layman's explanation. Like you just described, spot price of the metal in the ground. Miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3-5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero. See, all dealers around the country are getting at wholesale. So then why are some people charging 200% over spot? Because it's commission.
Well, let me ask you, what's the average ripoff? Like 40%?
Yeah, when you're dealing with semi-numismatics, 40 to 200%?
No.
I mean, it's insane.
I have these companies. Like, I had them laugh at me last week. They go, look, we're not ripping people off. We're doing 40. That's standard. Come on, man. 2.5 million right now. A month. And I'm just like, and I said, I'm not doing it. They just laughed at me. Well, hey, you go ahead and act like that. You go ahead and behave like that.
I mean, that's how they can afford to pay $2.5 million a month, right? I mean, it's insane. So these companies, if you ever see a collectible, a commemorative, and you talked about it early on. It's like you have that for a fundraiser for the Voice of Freedom, right? That's not an investment. That is to help you. That is how you should look at that stuff. Look at it as a collectible. Look at it as a way to help. But don't invest in that. It's doesn't have a good ending.
I don't know how these people sleep at night telling people it's a good investment. And then, I mean, I know the average is like 40% routinely, 200%. I mean, it's like bank robbery. I could not do that to my listeners.
I mean, I couldn't either. And if anybody wants to read about the intricacies of that, Dale Whitaker wrote a great book called The Gold Grift. It's fantastic. It explains all of it. But literally, these companies will make their own commemorative coins that they are the only ones that sell those. There is not liquidity on the backside of that. Right? There's just not. So that's why bullion is so important. It's 100% liquid because it's a global commodity used for manufacturing. You press a button, you sell it, and we don't charge anything when you liquidate it. You could do that in an IRA. You could do that with an old 401k. You could do it with the current 401k as long as you're 59 and a half. You just roll it into an IRA.
People need to call you right now, Dr. Elliott. Yeah. Now is the time. Thank you so much, and God bless you for the incredible information.
Thanks. God bless.
We got a powerful guest with Key Intel in 60 seconds. Share those live feeds now at Real Alex Jones on X and on Rumble.
Most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
want you all to know something. Alex Jones was right.
Alex is right about far more than he's wrong.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Think about how frustrated we are if you've been awake for a year or two. Imagine being like an Alex Jones or those guys who've been awake for like decades.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Alex Jones never bought the Russia hoax, not for a second.
You are one of the great thinkers of this.
You are a martyr to the First Amendment.
The government fears Alex Jones.
That's why the globalists hate me, is because I'm exposing their corporate worldwide tyranny.
Between the time when the oceans drank Atlantis and the rise of the sons of Arius, there was an age undreamed of. And on to this, Conan, destined to bear the jeweled crown of Aquilonia upon a troubled brow. It is I, his chronicler, who alone can tell thee of his saga. Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
It, I'm like, that's all absolutely accurate. I don't know why we didn't try to get him on sooner, but we asked him to come on yesterday. Boom, he's here. Really impressive stuff. Stephen Kuhn, Bronze Star recipient, combat vet, co-founder of what's became Germany's AfD. He lived in 10 countries, worked inside intelligence, European politics, and his partner's Ukrainian. He wrote 5 books on how citizens take their government back, and as a movement to do that, he built the movement to prove it. Join tab.us, Stephen Kuhn, K-U-H-N. So I played a video yesterday of him, let's say 4 minutes long, saying Ukraine already doesn't exist. And I basically said this myself. I mean, I'm like, oh, I said it first. No, I mean, it's a fact. Like he said, this has already happened. It's just he does it really good and succinctly, and he's also over there. And this is the model, though, and it came out in Vietnam when they leaked the Pentagon Papers that they knew it was just about a war game and money-making with you know, McNamara and Westmoreland and the rest of them. So the journey is the destination. So this Iran war, the world economy by BlackRock and the globalists is a bigger target than Iran. The Russia-Ukraine war, the primary target is the world economy and global consolidation and NATO army. And so I wanted to get him to get into all that, but also pick his brain about how he sees this unfolding. Now, no doubt this 97-day war has wrecked the economy, baked in for years. Trump now gets it, jamming the brake, but we're learning he's not in control, which we already knew. Israel, we got big developments on that, is swooping in. Everybody knows I'm not an Israel foe, but I don't have a hard-on for him until now. Because it used to be China was the main power block and some others. Israel sees the vacuum and is really trying to take over and admitting it. And so... MTG's put out a letter saying basically this is treason. I agree. We've got Netanyahu thanking members of Congress. Trump hasn't responded yet. The Republican Party has put it in the Official Defense Authorization Act, the biggest bill every year. And they're trying to pass literally turning everything over to the Israelis. All the intelligence from DARPA to weapons development to live time integration. I mean, this is beyond treason. She says the United States of America is a sovereign nation. Section 224 of the 2027 National Defense Authorization Act must be removed. Our military should not be integrated in any capacity with a foreign country's military. And Israel's famous for spying on us. I've interviewed for decades probably 100 CIA agents and Mossad whistleblowers, famous ones. And they're like, no, Israel's the biggest on infiltrating, spying, and selling your secrets, particularly the United States. So imagine putting 10,000 Jonathan Pollards in everything, okay? And Pollard's bragging about how they held us a nuclear blackmail in 73, and they're doing it again. And then Ben Gavir's saying it. So when Israel gets cornered, folks, which it put itself in this position, it's going to double down. So you've got this letter from Netanyahu. There's a bunch of these going out thanking Congress for supporting. So when they say, oh, we're no longer going to be on the U.S. tit, no, they'll now be inside the Pentagon with tens of trillions of missing money, co-owners of the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us of. So you think our military-industrial complex is bad. Israel is engaged in a coup at the heart of the deep state. There are not words to describe the magnitude of this. So Stephen Kuhn, join tab.us. We'll get into that movement and more at Stephen Kuhn on X. Give us your overall, go wherever you want here first, and then I want to drill into this and see where you think we're going in the future and then what we can do, because obviously baked into the EU and here, because we know the left's a false paradigm with the globalists to trigger race war, civil insurrection, anytime real populists try to stop all these multinational interests coming in. And we all talk about Israel all day, but it's just the mechanism for BlackRock and the remnants of the British Empire, I think, to try to prop up their system and get control. So I think we can't get too tunnel visioned on Israel, though it's clearly the funnel and the mechanism. But we are at the crossroads here. I don't think anybody can deny that. And the whole future destiny of humanity is being decided, I think, in the next year. So, Stephen, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Alex. I appreciate it. Well, I mean, you nailed it with the imperial financial structure from the UK and the globalists fighting against the sovereignists, which, it's a two-sided war. The question is what we're going to get after that, right? What's going to happen? We're going to have the same kind of structure just controlled by somebody else. And then we have, of course, all of the, all of the technocrats on top of it as well. So let's see what comes out of this. But right now they're breaking the arms. But if we go to Ukraine, I just want to make it real simple for everybody, you know. Arming the troops is a money machine. The destruction of the country is a money machine. The rebuilding contracts, they're already written before the war even ended. And the land, some of the most fertile land on the planet, not to mention the natural resources. And who owns that land? Just go look it up. And that's why Ukraine doesn't exist for me. There's nothing left. The government's owned. The land is owned. The infrastructure is owned. The rebuilding is owned. The weapons are owned. Everything's owned by somebody else outside of Ukraine. I'm actually right now on X. There's the ambassador from Ukraine to South Africa is just railing me right now, arguing with me. And as you know, when you have come with facts, people come back with emotions. So they're stuck in that narrative loop. And that narrative loop is a massive issue because that cognitive dissonance or cognitive separation from reality, people will fight to the death for a narrative that isn't even true because they've been living with it so long. So it's in a situation, you know, my wife's Ukrainian. We brought her family over from Ukraine. I've been with them now for 4 years. I was just talking today to them. I said, hey, they have no friends. They don't speak the language here. They don't, you know, they're waiting to go back to the country. And I said, I don't think you'll ever be able to go back. You know, it's something that struck me hard last night. And that's why I did the video. Thanks for showing up, by the way, Alex.
You better elaborate on what's happened and the numbers that have left.
Excuse me?
Elaborate on what's happened to Ukraine and how many have left.
Yeah, okay. So we have different, contradicting reports, but there was a new report that came out that it said 2 million Ukrainians have died, right, in the war. Then you have, don't forget the natural deaths, and don't forget those that are maimed or wounded. And then you have some say up to 6 million that left the country. I know in Hungary took a bunch, Turkey took a bunch, Germany, Switzerland, they took a bunch, UK, I know Ireland took a bunch as well. So you're looking at 25% of the population gone right now, gone, completely gone from the country. And a lot of those do not want to or are not going back. And the whole fact is that the country that they want to go back to, it won't exist anymore from what they left. It just doesn't exist anymore. It's as simple as that. And anyone who fights that is just not looking at reality. And I hate
and you
to say
explain
it like
in your
that,
video. But, and sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you. So I was eating about a sandwich when you stop. And your great 4 minute video you nailed, we played yesterday. This was, and I've seen all the documents, which obviously you have too. You're not just saying this. That's why you said this is a fact. They pre planned this, they set it up, fight the last Ukrainian as a sick plan to then implode the economies, come in with a Marshall Plan to prop up the EU dictatorship. And then bringing down Russia is a secondary goal, they admit. So that's what's so crazy is the finance ministers of Europe admit this cold-blooded evil. Now you have basically the Slavic civil war where they think they're fighting for their honor, and it's all a sick lie.
Yeah, they're using their honor as a weapon, you know. And look, this has been, this war has been planned since 2019. It was written in the EU documents. There was an EU parliament member that wrote the entire plan. And you can find it online. It isn't like it's hidden or anything. This isn't some kind of conspiracy theory. This is fact. They wrote it down. They're following that that doctrine, if you will. And they, well, I mean, think about it, Alex. If you wanted to take over a country because of its natural resources, because of its proximity to Russia, because of the ability to have a station that close to
you
Russia,
you trick it into a war, act like you're their saviors, yeah. And once they are shredded, you divide it all up.
Exactly. That's exactly what's happening. We can see it right now. Like I said, everything's owned already. No, Ukraine doesn't own anything anymore. The only Ukrainians that own anything are the people that are taking all the money.
Yeah, and 3 years ago, Larry Fink became the national center up. Larry Fink became the national manager of the economy in the emergency. So BlackRock and the globalist, literally the Rothschilds, literally own it.
Yeah, exactly what they own. You know, I had a friend call me the other day. He works at a sales company that sells yachts. And there's a 4-year waiting list for building yachts in this one company that he services. And every single one of those yachts comes from Ukraine. Super yachts. I'm talking $500 million yachts. I'm not talking like little, you know, skippers or something. And this is just something that's just another, you know, nail in the coffin. And you can see this, you can trace this all publicly, you know, all of the shadow companies and all the holdings and all these things where all this money's going, billions and billions of dollars spread out all over the world is supposed to be, you know, rebuilding or arming Ukraine. And the problem is this. The narrative is so thick that Putin and Russia is bad. I'm not saying he's good. I'm just saying when I focus on Ukraine and I say this is what's happening in Ukraine, people completely glaze over that and say, oh, you support Putin. They don't see the facts. They don't want to see the facts. They don't care about the facts. They want to be right. And that's all that matters. I don't care if I'm right. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just showing you what I know, all the experience I have, all these different places I've lived in, the governments that I've worked in you know, probably 6 or 7 governments in Europe, including the U.S. I've worked in as well. So it's just all information. I take all information, I triangulate it, and in the middle somewhere where they all overlap, that's the truth, and that's what I put out.
Well, you're totally on target, as you said. We have shown all the proof of all this, but here we are 4.5 years into this. Iran, obviously Trump was set up. Now he knows it's a trap, but it's not stopping. I mean, I said before we got back in, I said Iran war will be how they try to sabotage the recovery. The real target's the world economy. But how is it going for the globalists? You know, their primary goal of making a bunch of money and centralizing control, that's happened. But it's woken the world up. The Republicans are probably going to lose the midterms. So it's derailing the economy. That makes BlackRock happy as well. So the globalists are getting short-term victories. But the awakening I'm seeing down the road, I don't see it going well for them.
Well, you can always look at desperation as a guide of how it's going. And they're moving faster and faster and harder and more blatantly, obviously, moving into, you know, public view, so to say. And that's a big sign that they're panicking.
I speak to that. Absolutely. I mean, Israel has got the NDAA to literally merge with all intelligence, all lifetime telemetry, all integrated systems. I mean, this isn't just they get all the intelligence. They are in it. This is true. I mean, that to me was, I said that when it first broke last week, I said, this is ultra desperate.
Yeah, it's absolutely desperate. And also the lies direct to the camera that everyone knows. I mean, you could have a report that says this and then they'll lie about it in the next report and smile and go about their way as if nothing is. And you also see the followers or the, let's say, the people that profit from the globalists. Because look, we always talk about the big bad Trump or the big bad, you know, Netanyahu, whoever. They're a problem because they're the face of the problem. But the real problem is the infrastructure underneath, right? All the button pushers, the T-crossers, the eye-dotters that keep an eye, blind eye, because hey, I'm just, I'm nobody. I'm
they're called the collaborators.
Yeah, exactly. They're all collaborators. But I get it, Alex, because we have what we call in America weaponized debt. Every American has $115,000 debt on their back right now. And if you step out of line, we saw it in COVID. You step out of line, you lose your job, you lose your livelihood, you lose your house, the whole works.
You get $1.5 billion judgment run by a CIA rig court.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I know a little bit about that.
Yeah, I know you do.
Well, I experienced it. Yeah.
I know you did more than once, I think, right?
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Alex. Well, and that's the thing. So on one side, you understand citizens. And this is why I started TAB in the first place, Take America Back. Because I saw that all of these people up here, this isn't really the problem. The problem is all the way down to the local governments, people that are beholden through debt, that are taking small little bribes to pay their bills and pay their car bill and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And they end up being stuck. And look, corruption doesn't come for the bad guys. They come for the good guys. And it's
absolutely
no.
I've been offered $50 million a year to sell out Obama in the country, and I said no. Yeah. But that's the thing. Trump, maybe Israel, we know, gave him in this last election $500 million. I mean, they bought the presidency for $500 million. I mean, that is just pathetic.
Yeah, I know. I know there was Miriam Adelson gave something like $250 million. I don't know about the other $250 million, but yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Israeli PACs. It's about $500 million is what I've tracked. Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah,
that's still chicken feed to be given the entire access to the defense budget.
You know, let's Alex, we got to have hope, man. Hope dies last. They say it in Germany all the time. Hope from the strips, or let's, you know, hope dies last. Let's
no,
hope
no,
that
I have
this
a lot of hope
because
people are getting really pissed and awake. My only point is, well, let me ask you this way. Let's just look at Iran as a case point example. The Pentagon said the Mullahs probably won't fall. 90%+ chance it closes straight. But Trump listened to Netanyahu and Mossad. Now he's here. Now he's attacking Netanyahu. Is that for consumption? Is that to blame Netanyahu as an off-ramp? I mean, where do you see the Iran crisis going?
You know, it's hard to say because it's flip-flopped so much. But the information that I have is, well, let's just look at it this way. The Strait of Hormuz, Iran's taking payments in crypto, correct? Where's that crypto? It's USDT. Where are they going it through? They're going through Tether, which is Lutnick's company or Sun's company in South America. So they're already working together, right? So there's something there that we're not seeing. They're already working together in one way or form. I mean, if they're using USDT and Tether, which is an American company in South America, where a lot of the tech guys are going to, as we saw with Peter Thiel the other day, he's moving down there. There's something already going on that we don't know about that it's not public.
Yeah, and what's about to happen here? So you just nailed it. I saw your video on that a few weeks ago. Exactly. Lutnick wrote the tariffs.
Yeah.
And even the Supreme Court sent him letters saying this would have been supported, but it was written wrong. Then he buys up all the insurance on companies that bought insurance for tariffs for 25% on the dollar, makes billions off it with his kids and his company, and it's the same story. So it looks like actually the administration's being run just for insider trading.
I'm sure it's more than that, but that's definitely one of the big profits. And I don't want to say it's the entire administration. There's probably bits and pieces of it in there. But if you're in there and you're not saying anything, you're complicit, a collaborator, just like you said. I don't know. We have an integrity problem, Alex. We have a massive integrity problem. Also, one of the reasons why I wrote, The Citizen Servant Leader and the five books for the doctrine that
and
actually trains citizens.
I haven't read your books yet, but I'm really impressed. I want to read your books. I want to get you on a bunch about each book. We'll do that. But yeah, just 35,000 foot view then. I mean, just guessing or estimation. What happens with Russia? Obviously, Putin says, get your people out 2 weeks ago. They're increasing bombardments. Yeah. This is all coming to a head. Iran holds the cards right now. They know that. What happens there? This is like a disaster for Trump, a disaster in the midterms.
Well, look at it this way. Ukraine sees they're losing. So what have they started doing? They started attacking civilians. So they're hitting civilians in Russia now. And Russia's like, okay, we're done with this. So they fired back and they hit a few civilians on a lot. One of the biggest strengths that Putin has in this war, like him or not, is restraint. You know, if this guy would have had any restraint, he could have taken Ukraine in a few weeks or months, if you will, because he's never unleashed the big boys, right? So I feel like Russia is just going to put an end to it somehow, some way. But I can't get out of my head that as they were in Alaska, they were making deals. So part of this is show, part of this is real. When it comes to and when it comes to Ukraine, in my opinion, as much as I love the country, my wife loves her country, and my in-laws love their country, they are not owned by anything Ukrainian anymore. It's not a sovereign state. It hasn't been for a while, and it's now completely beholden and taken by sort of globalist financial infrastructure, the whole works, right? And the military industrial complex. Iran. I have to feel like you have to look at the difference between the IRGC and the leadership. It looks like the IRGC are the ones that are holding out, and the leadership wants to make deals. And since they have the that scattered effect of no central leadership in IRGC right now, each little pocket is doing their own thing, apparently. And they are, fighting against the the American, you know, whatever you want to call it, which is making it difficult for any kind of peace deal, because you get conflicting information all the time because there's no centralized government anymore, because the IRGC is wants to keep going and the government doesn't, apparently.
And that's why the Mullahs saw what happened in Iraq. They set up this they set up this parallel system. And so even though the Mullahs now want to make a deal, they can't, which is kind of the genius of the original plan.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. I don't know.
Well, I saw Marco Rubio like a month and a half ago saying, we've killed all their leadership. That's why they won't give up, because they're so pathetic, because they have no coordination. I'm like, no, that's actually a strength, that they're broken up into all these different units with their most radicals running it and not giving up.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it's huge because, you when you don't have direct communication on the battlefield, you are in charge, period. You have to make the best decision. And what's the decision when you're a soldier, when you're a diehard soldier?
Fight.
When you're especially into an ideological war, right? Especially in an ideological war, you're going to fight to the death. Simple as that. Whether there's a commander there or not, you're now the commander. And you will fight to the, I mean, we did it. When I was in Iraq and I was in combat in Iraq, same thing. You know, we lost our command. We lost weapons, the whole works. We just kept going. It wasn't going to end until we ended it. So, I think we have an issue there that we're trying to get, you know, economy is one thing, finances are another thing, but then you have the people, right? And people always forget about the people. The whole world forgets about the people. I have some very good Iranian friends all over the world. I had 75 employees in Hamburg, Germany, when I had a company there with, they were all Iranian, right? Persian, Iranian, whatever, you know, some people argue about that. And some of the best, most educated, smart people on the planet, passionate, kind, the whole works, and they're over there suffering right now, right? And some people say, oh, that's a Western shill sort of idea that you have there. No, they talk to me, right? Their families talk to me. You know, I did one video on Iran. I did a lot of videos on Iran, but I did one video, man, I got like 3 million views, and I was inundated with invitations all over the world to go visit these Iranians that thank me for actually putting it out there. And that just shows you the truth behind it. Right? And the truth behind it is, whether it's Ukraine, whether it's Africa, whether it's Iran, it's the people that matter. And you're one who speaks to this. We're so many more than them. If we just stand up finally and unite in one way or another, in one, you know, direction or another, we can actually win and break this whole cycle. But this narrative loop, the fractals and the patterns that you see all over the world are the same thing. It's a playbook. You can literally read like a playbook. Oh, this is happening now. This is going to happen next. And this is going to happen next. And then this is going to happen. It happens in every country and every situation.
And what's key is the globalists know about the cycles. They don't even so much control things. They ride the cycles. The good guys can learn the cycles and then defeat the globalists by doing the right thing in the cycle. It's like a surfer knows how to jump on a wave.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny you say that, because I think you said that, I don't know, a couple of years ago. I think you already said it. I remember you saying that a couple of years ago. And that's what put me on that trip when you said it. As I was like, why don't we just do what they're doing, but for good instead of bad? It can't be that hard, right? And here's the thing, is a lot of conservatives or a lot of people say, like, I will never do something like that. That has no morals. You don't have to do something without morals. You can do the same playbook, but add morality and integrity to it and move forward in the same manner. You see it happening. That's what we're doing with TAB.
I mean, imagine you're out. I'm not a good surfer. I've got on the board a few times, but you're either taking a class. You see the waves. You learn how they work. You get on them. They're riding waves to attack us. We have to learn how the waves come in to get on the wave for good. That's all we're saying, is seize the destiny, like Julius Caesar said. We'll be right back. The very best, strongest methylene blue from a medical grade company that produces it for medical firms. Instead of using radioactive iodine, you know, to track stuff before surgeries, they're more and more using methylene blue. So I told Bigley, I said, get me wherever the highest rated is. So they spent like 6 months and said, where is it? And they said, oh, this is a medical firm in Florida. They don't even sell this for human consumption, though it's great for that. And I'm like, okay, great. So some bottles of it came in, sat there about a week, because I'd taken methylene blue before, barely felt any energy, knew it was really good for your mitochondria. You know, so it's time to sell it. We're going to do it. Kennedy's promoting it. This was a year and a half ago, almost years ago. They're like, hey, boss, you know, it's coming out tomorrow. You got to cut the ads. I'm like, well, I haven't tried it yet. This better be good. And so the show ends, and I had a glass of iced tea, just like I do today. Okay? and I take one dropper and put it in the iced tea. And so I only drink half the iced tea. So I took half a dropper, and all of a sudden I'm like feeling warm and like electricity in my hands. I'd forgotten I'd taken it because I'm busy doing stuff after the show. And I go into the bathroom and I take my shirt off, and I turned red. Not like hives, like I was. It was distributed. I'm already pretty tan. You know, tan good is a little bit Native American. One of the benefits of that. But I was like even redder, and I was like, "What is this?" And I'm like, "Electricity." I go, "Oh, that's what people say methylene blue does if it's really good." And I was like, and I started feeling so good. I was like, "This is kind of scary." And about an hour into it, I go, "I hope this stops because it was getting too good." That happened to Derek. He took it and said, "I'm scared to take it. I thought he was on acid." So it's psychoactive everything, okay? I mean, this is not a freaking game, okay? It skips the oxygenation process, two steps in the cells, and all this other wild stuff. And so my medical doctor 6-7 years ago, wellness clinics all over the state, he's got like 5, 6, 7, 8 degrees. It's ridiculous. He said, "And by the way, I want you to get methylene blue. It'll be USP grade. Just get it wherever. Just make sure it's USP grade, meaning it's, you know, medical grade." And I ordered it and tried it and really didn't feel any energy. But I'm sure it was good for me, but I'd forget to take it. So I was like, "Okay, everybody wants methylene blue. I know it's good. We'll get it. We'll sell it. Get the best." I take this, and it is nothing like any methylene blue I ever took. I mean, it is strong. It's amazing. But just like Group told me with the pure atomic iodine that it would do great stuff with my skin, those liver spots I had, you can go back to shows 14, 15 years ago before Group came along, and you can see those spots I had. They're gone, baby. Gone, literally gone. It's amazing. But within 2 weeks of taking the methylene blue, the guy I trained with was like, "Hey, are you on something? Did you get a steroid prescription or something?" I was like, "No." And he goes, "Well, what's going on? I mean, you're losing weight even quicker, and now you used to have trouble doing 10 pull-ups, and you just did 20, and man, you're like pushing like on the leg press twice what you were a month ago. What the hell's going on, dude? You're like glowing." And Sean Johnson told the story, and I said, "It's methylene blue." He's a former Navy SEAL, Navy SEAL trainer, all that. He took it, gave his testimony about how within 30 minutes he was all zinned out and it was crazy and everything. This stuff really works. Now, when you first take it, you get the crazy effects psychologically. You always feel the energy some, but as it builds up, it's not even a tolerance. It's when your body hasn't had this, it really notices it at first. But the first time you take it, I say take a quarter dropper. Talk to your physician, too, because if you're on SSRIs or some other drugs, it'll make you jump off a building. I mean, people have taken methylene blue when they're on Prozac and they jump off buildings. Okay, that's rare. Usually women just pull their clothes off and start having orgies and stuff. I mean, I'm serious, okay? I mean, like, you want to go cuckoo town, take this with SSRIs and you're going to cuckoo town because that's how strong this is, okay? That's what this does, and we know it's good for you. But this is not a joke, okay? I don't sell crap.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
You know, I feel like I'm jumping into a famous Alex Jones interruptions here because the better the guest, the more I do it because I get excited. But I've been watching Stephen Kuhn for years, and everything he says I think is dead on. And it really inspires me to hear that I helped inspire him a few years ago with some of my ideas, because there's so many great men and women out there, very race, color, and creed in the world that I've run into and know in business and life. And I'm like, God, what would it be like if they got engaged against the globalists? Because you can't just oppose the globalists. You have to create an alternative system as well. And also realize they're not all powerful. It's just that we don't even admit they exist. So much of my 32 years on air was just getting people to admit there were these different deep states and powerful predator groups. So we got to get you, we still got about 25 minutes left, but we got to get you back up on a commercial free podcast. Happy to come on your show, whatever, to go through your books, your ideas, to take America back, what you're doing. And it doesn't mean you'll save the world or I'll save the world, but we'll all inspire each other and this fertile ground of tyranny, because the globalist answer to the awakening, the great awakening, is tyranny, and the great reset is going to just energize this movement. And so I see us already turning the tide. I want to be optimistic, but we got to admit how bad things are. So I can ask a million questions, but please continue with the larger situation, the key points you went ahead. And then, again, I can't quit harping on this, the boldness of the National Defense Authorization Act, literally trying to integrate everything, live-time integration. You've been in the military and intelligence. People probably don't know what that means. I talked to guys I know, because I already knew what it meant, but I've made some calls, Army Special Operations. They'll be like, oh, God, we're all freaking out. I mean, this is crazy. This is a total coup. So please continue.
A lot of it is theater. They got to keep us distracted. The narrative is what keeps us in the emotional loop, that keeps us raging against each other. You know, when you go online and you're triggered, it doesn't matter if you're triggered positively or negatively, it's a trigger. And that's a narrative. And that narrative is to keep you away from the facts. The way to look at the facts is to separate yourself from any kind of reaction. If you have a reaction, don't comment, don't reply, don't rage. Think for a second, who's benefiting from this? Who owns this? Why am I being so upset about this right now? Is it something that I agree with or what I disagree with? And why do I agree or disagree? These are the things that you got to do to get out of this loop. This is literally psychological programming. You know, I have a friend, Chase Hughes. I don't know if he's ever been on your show, but you probably know who he is. We talk about this all the time.
Yes.
I've been in the system. He teaches people how to do this, right? And so he's actually the co-author of the fifth book, Incorruptible, that actually went through this whole process of how you get out of these loops, right? You get out of the corruption. You get out of the narrative. You get out of the loop. I mean, otherwise, we're stuck in a downward spiral. But I have a simple math problem to fix it in America. And I know we want to stay on this globalist thing. So if you give me a second, I would like to go through that.
No, wherever you want.
All right, cool. So in America, 3,144 counties, there's about 100,000 vacant precinct seats in America right now, about 200,000 local government seats. There's three mayors in North Dakota right now, empty seats. No one's even running. 70% of all local elections are single runners. It means there's nobody contesting them. If we take 10 people per county, that's 31,444 people in all of America, 1 in 8,000 adolts, or 1/100th of 1% of all Americans, and we can take America back. 31,444 people. Alex, it's that simple. It's a math problem. That's it. That's how we can take it back. Because all corruption starts at the foundation. You know, let's say Raytheon builds a new factory in your county, right? The county gives them a tax break. Who ends up paying the taxes to the state? You do, as the employee who works there, ends up paying the taxes to the state for Raytheon. Raytheon signs a contract with Ukraine, sends weapons over there. Next thing you know, they're sending the kickbacks over back to America. And it just goes on and on and on like that. So all politics start local. We are the republic. The people are the republic. And people ask me all the time, you know, we have on our website, find your seat. Go to the website, jointab.us. Click on find my seat. Put in your zip code and it'll show you the vacant seats in your county. Click on it and apply. And within a week, you can be in a seat making decisions. That's what it's about.
Oh, this is such a big deal that there's thousands of seats with no one even running. Many of them headless horsemen. It's literally a zombie situation.
Yeah, exactly. And I have, there's a guy in one of the very earliest guys that I have is Eric Bodenstab from Colorado. He's running. He just started. He's like, I got to do this, Steve. After listening to you, I got to do this. We got a guy in Gary in Maricopa County. Within 1 week, he was a precinct captain. And now he's speaking at the state capitol to the governor. I mean, it's incredible. These are just normal people that didn't even know what a precinct seat was, right? We have the, and people say, I'm not a politician. It's real simple. You go in, you keep your integrity intact, and listen to the people you represent and do what they want you to do. That's a politician. That's what representative means, right? They're representative of the people, for the people. It's that simple. There's no big mystery behind being a politician at that level. Above that, it's pay to play. And we got to stop that. The only way we can stop it is to take America back.
Some people are asking, why are there mayors all over with no mayor? Why are there city councils, nobody there, school boards? It's because the city managers and the bureaucrats actually like it like that when everybody's asleep, because there's people there running it. It's just not citizens. It's just not elected people.
Exactly. And it's the same thing. Let's say you have four precinct seats and two of them are empty, and let's say you have Democrats and two, the two Republicans are empty. They're not going to promote that. They want to control it. And if Republicans want to go in there, they might even get, and this happens, we've seen it live, they'll take some of their Democrat friends, register as Republicans, and then go take those seats, and then they run the whole city. You know, and that's what happened in Tampa with the schooling. That's what happened down in Texas. That's what happened in Dearborn. They basically just captured the entire county or the city by co-registering. And it's a sad state of affairs. But 300,000 seats across the nation, 70% of all elections, one person running. If, you know, if me and five friends ran for mayor against someone who's been a mayor for 20 years and no one ever ran against them, what do you think the chances are that person would have to step up and actually, you know, play his
game?
By
the way, this is just waking America up. I knew the numbers, but is it 70% of races run unopposed?
Yeah, local politics. Yep.
So think about this, folks. Because I love Texas. I'm from Texas, proud of Texas. But we're almost blue because the average Texan is like, we'll never be commie like California. I don't need to do nothing. And hunters and gun owners, Ted Nugent talks about this, are the lowest voting group there is. So really, we've met the enemy. It is us.
Yeah, absolutely. We are the most passive people. That's putting it nicely. You know, we complain. We have problems with our government. We hate this. We hate that. But we don't do nothing. And the people say, I have a job. Most of these seats aren't paid or they're low paid. So how am I supposed to pay my bills? It turns into a personal thing. Look, you remember the revolution. How did we win? We won because we fought where we lived. We didn't go to the fields and get shot in the chest by the redcoats like a bunch of knuckleheads, right? We lived and we hid behind barns and walls and bridges. And we took pot shots because we led where we lived.
No, you didn't
lived.
Tell your That's wife. You didn't now. Tell your wife what you were doing when she went to bed at 10 o'clock at night. You slipped out, marched 3 miles, hid in the woods till the British came out of the bar and shot two of them. And you never told anybody, and you just disappeared to the dark.
Yeah, you led where you lived. We have to do that now. Look, you can't change. We can't change Trump. We can't change Iran. We can't change Ukraine. We can talk about it. We can facilitate as much discussion as we want, but we can't change it. But you can change what you can touch. And that is in your city, in your town, in your zip code.
Well, that's what the left say. Think global, think global, act local. By the way, I wasn't saying go out and shoot random, you know, leftists or globalists.
No.
My point was, I know they'll try to spin it. My point is, that's what this is about, is hands-on action. And people are hungry for this. And another thing, if you run for local office, you're going to instantly find all the corruption. So start a Facebook, start an X account. And believe me, people are hungry for this. You're worried about running. How am I going to make money? You're going to lose everything. I was on Access TV years. I wasn't trying to make money. Then I got a local radio show that's syndicated and making millions of bucks within a couple of years. Wasn't even trying to make money. Put it back into the business. You've got to, I know most people know this, but you've got to invest in seed money to win. And that means investing your time and energy. I know this audience knows it. But most conservatives I know, it's not even that they're lazy. They think it's arrogant or uppity to go speak or get engaged, and they're shy. They gotta get out of their comfort zone.
Absolutely, well put. It took me a while too. I mean, I've been speaking for years, but at first it was like, people are gonna think I'm arrogant, this kind of thing. But in the end, Alex, if you have something that you believe in bigger than anything on this planet, and in the universe, and I do, and that's in my faith in America, that we are the greatest nation on earth, not because we're powerful, whatever, it's because of where we come from, what we were seeded from, right? We came from a group of people that believed in a higher power, and we grew through that. And our society is based on those good morals and values. We're the number one giving people on the planet. Per capita, Americans donate more money than any other nation on the planet. That shows where our cores lie. And I can tell you this, too. Traveling all over the world, I'm currently in Turkey right now. People say, Stephen, America has to win. They have to win this war. I was on CNN Turk the other day. America has to win. And they don't mean just the war. They mean total, right? The total thing. We have to beat the globalists. We have to beat out this complete sway of reality that we're seeing.
And
right
I will
now.
Give the world credit to this, because whether I talk to Japanese, Russian, Chinese, Mexicans, Brazilians, El Salvadorans, they all say, oh, we know it's your government. We know you're the best. We know you're good. Yeah. And we're not perfect. We're the best house in that neighborhood. What came out of the Enlightenment, then what came out of the Magna Carta, what came out of the fights for Parliament, what came out of Scotland and Ireland and England, even in globalist white papers, I'm sure you know this, they write about killing the West, and they talk about what came out of, and you look at the UK as a tyranny today, that's because they saw it as a threat and domesticated it and cracked down on it. But that's really where modern Western civilization came from, and the globalists fear that energy. That's why the Great Reset wants to exterminate the soul of the West.
Absolutely, and they're doing a great job in Europe. That's for sure. Look at Ireland right now. You know, in Ireland they're bringing in massive refugees. They're doing it in Holland as well. And I don't know if you know this, but they're actually arming them. And they used to put the refugees or the immigrants into certain areas. Now they're spreading them into, they're deploying them around the country. And I have this information firsthand, so it's not something I just read somewhere. They're deploying them to separate places in the country, and they're actually arming them.
Well, speak to that. I mean, I know they're allowed to have guns and even get illegal hand grenades, and they're now using them to kick farmers off their lands and in special weird paramilitary local brigades. But I mean, specifically, how are they arming them? What's happening?
Well, it's behind the scenes, isn't it? They're not driving up the trucks and dumping them out. It's all, you know, incognito, behind the scenes, a little bit here, a little bit there. These are groups, they're activist groups that are doing this, and these are locals, right, that are doing this because they're profiting from it. We have,
well, sure,
a problem,
they're the NGO, right? Groups that feed off of it. Well, it's like one battle, right, after another. Civil war is, yeah, all glamorizing.
Yeah. Exactly what it is. I mean, we have a problem, Alex, in our world, is that the globalists, they think 10 years ahead, 20 years ahead, 30 years ahead. We think the next 2 years, the next 4 years, maybe. Usually, personally, we think for a day or two, right? So I'm going to elect somebody, we elect Trump, we're good for 4 years. You know what I mean? Like, that's not the way it works. We have to create a process, procedures, almost an SOP, how we're going to take this back all the way forward. And that's what they've always done. That's what USAID was all about. That was pumping that money all over the place to make sure that plan was rolling out and going and going and going, you know, which is still happening, by the way, as you, I think you reported once. But, you know, it's a crazy place to be. But you know what, Alex, we've been here before, in not this brass in your face, but it's been like this before. It just, there was no social media or news talk about it, First World War, Second World War specifically, and America has always been able to come back out on top. And so I'm very, very positive, very, very on the up and up about.
What do your former military and intelligence colleagues think about the situation we're in? Because I tell you, everybody I talk to, and I know a lot of people, they are all 100% awake. I mean, I'd say 80% of the people that are anyway seasoned, even in currently or out, are like, I call them radicalized. I mean, quite frankly, it's a very satisfying thing, kind of like in Full Metal Jacket, where it says the drill sergeants are excited at the end of, you know, boot camp to see that, you know, that these Marines are a great crop and even, you know, more powerful than they were, and they're, you know, surging. And it's the same thing. I'm like the milk toast guy now from what's coming.
Yeah, they are. Well, it depends if they're still active or not, and if they're working for the government or not. It depends how my friends will speak. I have some friends that are diehard. You know, they're like, no, Steve, we're doing this. This is the way it's supposed to be. And of course, most people that are out that aren't tied to the government or to the military, they're just like us. They understand, they see it. But most people won't speak out for fear of reprisal, for fear of losing their jobs, or feeling for fear of actually being attacked all the time, like you are and I am. I'm massively attacked on X by, you know, pro Putin and all these stupid memes and all these kind of things that, you know, that people throw at you and they don't have any real arguments against.
But what's crazy is nobody buys into it. You know, it's like, I'm like, hey, the Pentagon even says, don't go into Iran. The mullahs won't fall. They'll close the strait. Oh, you work for the Iranians. They'll fall in 4 days. Well, who was right? We were right. They were wrong. Over and over again.
Yeah, I don't care if I'm right. I really don't, Alex. All I'm trying to do is wake people up, and it means I'm not saying
I know, but
sleeping.
When I say it's not about keeping score, but I mean, we're right about the policy. We're trying to turn things around. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly right. I mean, I've been talking about Ukraine, like you said, for almost 2 years now, and I called it. What's happening? I called it a long time ago, and it doesn't mean that I'm right. It means that I'm there. Like, I see it. I talked to my wife, her family, friends there. Her cousin just fell last month. He's lost in combat now. So this is really personal, Alex, for us. And when I talk about it, I mean, like, this, there's an ambassador taking the time out of his day for the last hour just to ride me on X. That just shows you how desperate they are.
Oh,
how
I desperate had, does I it had have the to head be of the WHO. Official? I had the head of the WHO come out and attack me.
Oh, yeah. I remember reading something about that. I remember reading something
Tedros.
About that. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. So if they're taking the time out of their day, these important people, just to talk to people like us, I mean, okay, you're a little different league than I am, but, you know, I'm just some dude. You know what I mean? Some guy. And he's taking his time
true.
Out of his day.
You reach like, a lot of people. So.
Yeah.
I want to have you back soon on your books, on a tab. on all of it. I've had my good buddy Richard Reeves. He worked here like 30 years ago for 10 years. And he calls me all the time saying the exact stuff. Nobody's running in these offices. You need to get people on about this. So when I saw you talking about that, that was the last straw. I said, we got to focus on this because it shows how a lot of people are asleep at the switch. But just separately, midterms, Trump. Trump cares about his legacy. I don't care about that. But if we can get him on his legacy, do the right thing. Is there anything salvageable? What happens in the midterms? Where do you see Iran going? Back to Putin. He says he's about to obliterate it all. He's escalated it. I mean, what's the timetable there, do you think?
Well, I think the midterms, we're going to come out all right. Or the Republicans, I'm going to say were, but the Republicans will come out all right. I don't think they're going to lose as bad as everybody thinks they are. This is my personal opinion, talking to the people that I know in different camps, so to say. Some of them are in the Trump camp. Some of them aren't. But I think we're going to do all right on the midterms. When it comes to Ukraine, as far as I'm concerned, that war is going to go till 2029, 2030. That's the plan. That's the plan they've been going this whole time. And that's why they keep, you know, sort of delaying it and making things happen. That's why these false flags keep happening. That's why all these lies are out there happening. It's got to keep going. You know, they have a plan and they're sticking to it. Unless we can break something, unless Putin says, look, I'm putting the hammer down and I'm going to decimate or do whatever he's going to do. I hope to God he doesn't. But
that's the question. So will NATO then fully commit to war if he does that? And by the way, as you know, Merkel said it's going to last another 10 years, the former chancellor. The other ministers say 20 years. What is the plan? I know you've stated it, but for people that just tuned in, what is the plan? Why does it need to last another 5 years?
That's the whole plan for the economic destruction and sort of privatization of all of Europe. Right. So that's basically what's happening. They're privatizing all the industry. They're privatizing all of the power. They're consolidating power. They're consolidating the finances. And we're going to be serfs, basically. I mean,
need more time to bankrupt Europe with the war and fully exsanguinate and just liquefy like a spider doesn't kill a bug right away. It bites it and then the enzyme dissolves it. And then right before it dies, the spider comes and touches it and checks for a heartbeat. This is how it works. And then the spider drinks its juices right as it's dying.
What an analogy. I never heard that before. It's like that. If you listen to Martin Armstrong, he says the EU is going to be abolished or it'll break apart by 2030, which I think fits the plan perfectly. Because if the war goes to 29 to 30, then it breaks up, then it's really privatized and everybody has their own little piece of the pie and off we go. Right. So
exactly. And the Marshall plan for Ukraine is the Marshall plan for all of Europe.
Yeah, of course it is.
And then that's the official BlackRock plan. So BlackRock really isn't over just Ukraine, it's over Europe. So how do they roll that out, though? How do they sell that?
They're not selling it. They're doing it. They're selling. Look at Matz, you know, Chancellor Matz. He's an ex-BlackRock CEO of Germany, right? That guy, he's leading the march, right? Now, he wants to buy the new rocket from Turkey. It's like, it's crazy. First, they call Turkey the enemy, and now they're saying, I'm going to buy your rockets, you know? It doesn't matter what they have to do, they'll do it. Look at Macron, Matz, von der Leyen, Stermer, all these people. They're operatives. They're employees. And just like Zelensky's an employee, they're there to do one thing, increase shareholder value.
No, that's right. It. What do you make in closing of Israel's ministers? I mean, they're all doing it. Ben-Gavir, all of them saying, our next enemy is Turkey and Egypt. War, war, war. I mean, and then they think we're going to backstop a war with Turkey and Egypt?
Well, they're forgetting that Turkey's no joke, man. That's the second largest army in NATO, number one. Number two, this would be probably the only country to go to war where you'd have an influx of people coming into the country to fight for their country. There's Turks all over the world. So some of the most patriotic, nationalistic, believers of their nation than any nation ever met. They're comparable to the Americans as far as their patriotism goes. They're in NATO. And when I heard Trump talking about, hey, you know, we're thinking about leaving NATO, I went, uh-oh. And at the same time, you heard Israel going, oh, you know, Turkey's a new enemy. Germany said Turkey's a new enemy. A State Department official said Turkey's a new Iran. I mean, come on. We're, you know, in Turkey, this is a friend of America. Most weapons companies in America have a factory here.
No, I know. I bought some great German knockoff HKs out of there, like Zenith. So for people that don't know, What do you know about this? Because I have intel. I'm going to see what you think. About 15 years ago, Saudi Arabia made a secret deal with Pakistan to have their trained pilots with Pakistan planes, fighter bombers, if they ever hit the emergency button, to move the nukes into Saudi Arabia. And then you notice they moved in 7,000 troops and then some fighter bombers. And I think that is the nukes being moved in, that Saudi Arabia has taken receipt of them. But I've been told also that the word is Turkey has quickly assemblable hydrogen bombs. Have you ever heard that?
I haven't heard about the hydrogen bombs, but I know that they have. They came out with this ballistic missile out of the blue. Like it was a surprise to so many people. So it wouldn't surprise me if they did it. You know, like I said, Turkey's no joke, man. It's no joke. One of the largest, most powerful armies in this region, and the second largest in NATO after America.
Sure, but why would Israel be making designs on Turkey and then starting a fight with them? It's insane.
Well, it's okay. Now you get into things that are, for me, theory, because I've never really gotten into these because it's way outside of my scope. But the Greater Israel Project, has part of Turkey as part of Greater Israel. You know, and I'm not saying that's what the plan is, but that's what I've seen. I've seen these like maps and the breakdowns from all the people talking about
Israel
it.
Went I from 6 months ago saying you're an anti-Semite if you believe in Greater Israel. They now give speeches on it and are saying they're taking southern Lebanon and are already selling real estate, basically.
Yeah. Well, part of Turkey is part of their plan. That's why. Not to mention Istanbul, going back to the if you talk to people like Alex Kraner, which you should have on. This guy's amazing. He talks about how Istanbul is going to go back to the Orthodox. You know,
Constantinople.
Yes. That's one of the bigger plans as well. And you hear all this stuff. I can't confirm it because I don't have information from Israel.
Well, tell you what, give me a list of guests we should have on. I'm going to put you on hold. Seriously, you tell me who to have on. But let's have you on the next few weeks, and we'll cover your books and your political movement. A great first introduction. Very exciting.
Thank you.
Stephen Kuhn. Join TAB, Take America Back, jointab.us, Stephen Kuhn on X. Thank you so much. Amazing interview.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.
All right, we got the guy that is on the heels of Lindsey Graham in the Senate race joining us. He's within striking distance. In fact, I had my poll numbers here. I'm trying to find them right now. Oh, boy. All right, so that's coming up right away. I didn't plug last hour, you notice. I'm so hot on the news. That's how we fund the operation. I need you to support us. The products are amazing. Today and tomorrow is the last day at thealexjonesstore.com with all the supplements, the Patriot apparel, all of it, that every order you put in gets you 100X entries, 100X entries to win the sweepstakes for the custom H1 Hummer. That's the old deal of this month, but there's that 1 week where it's a crossover where you also get it on the next car, a chance to win it. 2026 Dodge Charger Scat Pack, awesome vehicle. We got some B-roll that we can show you. Today and tomorrow is the last day. Tomorrow at midnight central. Take advantage of that. But store-wide, the lowest discount is 40%. The highest 50% on the methylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum. These are all incredible products. Only sell products that really work. They will change your life, and it supports this broadcast. I need your support. It takes money to fight a war. We are a bit up against the deep state, and we're rebuilding the new Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. We need your support, plus these are amazing products. So I want to encourage those of you that have been on the fence, the majority of you, that have never gone to thealexjonesstore.com, you are missing out. Just try methylene blue and just try our T3 iodine. It will change your life. They're the missing links. Thealexjonesstore.com. Take action now. We'll be right back with hour number four with a man set to beat Lindsey Graham.
Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like, these things just happen. Like, this is what we're, this is our new normal. That, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a Shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach in California? Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. This is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack. A massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the CMOS capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.